offerings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Sarnam, Gacchami, Dityampi, Tatyampi, Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Sarnam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Sarnam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Pratipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassion and comprehension that dissipates delusion. By passionate aspiration that harms no one. By a passionate speech that makes for clarity. By a passionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By a passionate livelihood that brings no discredit. by a compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by a compassionate mindfulness that fruits its path, by a compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi saha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. As the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. What shall I look at this morning? June.
I'm not sure what I'm going to say, but I've been looking at it goes around in here in kind of this big, messy way about if in practice I try to hold on to something that's for me, then I lose it all. And yet it seems like it's all I do.
And it's all I do is that process?
Yes, and I'll play out my karmic predisposition toward comfort seeking and conflict avoidance, and yet on along with that is also the karmic predisposition toward self-forgetting, which is kind of discounting the self, if I understand it. Certainly works that way in here. Discounting this person. And it's the old thing I've talked about so many times. If it's just for me, it's not really that important. And when, things get tough, just abandon it. Just abandon your commitments or whatever. That's the kind of
thing. Yeah. So in this whole big sort of jumble that's going on, what you've been looking at are a couple of big things. One is that the process of trying to grab onto something that's for me and then kind of losing it all. You know, you don't have it at all. And then the process of the karmic disposition of comfort seeking or conflict avoidance. And then the self-forgetting or the self-minimizing, if it's just for me, it's not that important. It's got to have some larger benefit, because if it's just me, then it's not worth doing. So therefore, when it gets tough, I'm just going to abandon it.
Yeah.
So all these kind of things going along, you're
it's ping pong, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
With the ping pong being,
let go completely, let go, live completely in service, joy lies in that direction, which is so. And just then the karmic backlash of It's uncomfortable. But then it's a three-sided ping pong, because the next one, I can't even picture that. But the next one is, it's just you, it's just me. Uh-huh. And it's just right now I just want to just not have to think about any of it.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
So it's this way, and there's probably more ways that I'm not seeing.
Yes, but that's such a great image. Okay, so let's see, for some reason the image of volleyball comes into my mind. No. They're hitting the ball, right? They're hitting the ball, and there's three in that way, and you're the ball, right? Because what you're saying is, that first one of just be in all of service, be all in, this is the joyful way to go, which is true. But anything that ego takes, any truth, I mean, that's all ego ever has to work with, the things that are true, and then it takes and distorts it or, mutilates it or, whatever. So in the hands of ego, it becomes a suffering conversation or a suffering line that it gets delivered to you, which is service, do this. And then it gets volleyed or hit over to what was the second one? I'm too hungry. Oh, yeah.
It's about that one. Let's see. I can't remember.
Well, I think it was I don't want to do that. No. And then comes in, but, and it's just me anyway. It doesn't matter. I'm not worth all that trouble.
Yeah.
And so they all kind of, in that process, they all get their say. They all get their perspective. And the one that gets beaten around, who's kind of getting consumed in all of that, is June.
Yeah, and there is often a real, I won't say confusion, but there's little clarity about what June is. We're talking here a lot about the authentic person.
Mm-hmm.
How we did, I think the New Year's retreat was about authentic response and emotional, and maybe it's noodling, and maybe I'm being bamboozled. You think? But I can't find out what authentic emotion is. I don't know what that is.
Uh-huh.
And I have a hard time staying in touch with what the authentic human is.
Uh-huh.
And stewarding. We talk about stewarding the authentic human through in life.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes I kind of know what we're saying, and a lot of times I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And maybe it's who's looking, where I'm being directed to look. But help me with that.
Yeah. Well, so there's this sense of, so you see, there's an awareness of this whole process going on with the ping pong, the three-sided ping pong game, right? And then what comes in is I project it's sort of a wanting to address that, and what comes up is all that stuff that we were talking about on the New Year's, which is around strong emotion and stewarding this human life and what is authenticity and what, and that process on top of this other suffering process of I don't know what that is. I don't know what authenticity is. I don't know what is the authentic human life that needs stewarding here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So does that feel like that's another noodling on top of
it? It's like a lot of noodles.
So there's this kind of self-hating, should do something kind of process. Then what conditioning does is it labels on this, well, we're going to figure it out by noodling it kind of process.
Well, yeah, yes. Yeah, what it says is, Well, here's the teaching. Let's look at this really closely. Let me get it clear. Let's see if we can really get to the bottom of this teaching. And then some of these other unclear things will clear up.
Oh, gosh, June, that is, I love the way you even said that. Because, I mean, that's one for the, to get on the wall. Okay, when it takes on this real teaching, we kind of tone of voice, well, let's get real clear on this teaching. We'll really drill down and we'll understand and we'll get some clarity. It uses all the Zen language, oh, doesn't it? And it will, then we'll, and then we'll, you know, it's like that's the
clue. Mm-hmm. It's I've been doing it for years and it hasn't happened yet.
It's been doing it for years.
Yeah.
And it never gets to that clarity that it's saying it wants to get to. Mm-hmm. And just to reflect one other thing, is that there's an awareness of all this happening. You know?
That what you're seeing.
Yeah, that which you are seeking.
Okay, here's a piece of it. Mm-hmm. The monks seem to understand about this authentic. A lot of sadhu seems to get it. And maybe I'm being told there's something, there's some piece of it, there's some experience. I'm being told there's an experience I don't have that many other people in Sangha have.
Uh-huh.
And the reason I don't do is because I'm not willing enough.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm going to have it, I better get on the stick. And yet I don't seem to get on the stick.
Yeah, and see, it's so interesting, isn't it? So, and just to put it, let me just say, kind of reflect it this way, I guess. If I were ego and wanting to keep you from realizing that you're aware of all this, that's exactly the tactic I would take. I would try to get you to compare yourself to someone else, and then go right for the self-hate that I know will make you feel bad that you are missing something. And by the way, you better hurry because you're running out of time. So I can find throw a little urgency in there. All to distract your attention from the fact that you're aware of everything it's doing.
Yes. I can sit here and talk for a long time just tell you what it's doing.
Yeah, so if there delivers and
constant moment by moment.
Yep.
Which then, okay, here's what it just said. that doesn't, let's see. The fact that I can do that doesn't mean there isn't some big piece that I'm missing.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so what it just did, so I'm going to do it for a minute.
Okay.
So what it just did, that the next layer of it was that you know, I mean, you've seen very clearly. It says that way. Says, I have seen very clearly that we make all of this up as we go along, that there's nothing going on here that we're not, that isn't going through the human brain and coming out as some kind of reality.
That there's nothing that's going on in the human brain that's not coming out as some kind of reality because we make it all up as we go along.
Right. There's movement.
There's movement.
Sensation. Yeah. And then we make it up from there.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's one of the reasons authentic emotion seems odd to me that I can't find. Because, and it's all up right now because there's been so much of it.
In the recent months, you mean all of that stuff that's been going on? Yeah, it's really up right now. So it's really up right now because there has been so much authentic emotion, grief, loss, you know, joy, everything, all the things that have been going on of late. And so it's trying to sort of, it's talking about it a lot because it actually is here.
Next time, and this really does seem so. This seems like the work. This seems like maybe my 2018 work. and I've been working on it for a while because it's so elusive for me, and that's love, you know, defining love. And
did you say to find or define?
Define. Let's talk about, other people talk about, kind of falling in love with yourself. Even though you kind of don't, even though there's nothing separate. Talk about taking care of the human. This, the way you would someone you love. And I can't, that is so elusive for me. It is really, and I don't put it on my huge blackboard to remind myself. I don't record about it. I don't write about it. I hardly ever talk about it, I think. I'm told that it's corny. Corny somehow. What? Okay. Maybe. Probably not. I don't know. It seems like I've touched that place that's bigger than this little narrow focused mind. And it represents, you know. But boy, when it closes over, it really does, and there's a backlash. And I guess I lose confidence or willingness or just I guess confidence in the teaching. Keep going. Take the next step. Show up. Do the practice.
Just did that process. It sounds like the process maybe just happened because that you're describing was just happening. Because as you were talking about the monk's experience, who talk about taking care of this human just like you would someone you love dearly, and really, you know, it seemed like you went there as you were going to what you project on that the monks are experiencing. You kind of went there that, oh, I've been working on it a while. Maybe this is my 2018 work. To just really care for this human being. So there's that moment of touching in, but I can't get there. And then you heard that it's kind of corny to get there, and so that's the covering over. You know, there you just touched in as you were describing it as a monk, as some of the monks have, and you know, have the experience, and then it gets kind of covered over, and then it's like, well, there's this loss of confidence because You know, I said this doesn't seem attainable for me. They can do it, but I can't. Because there it got, you know, there's there, you saw it for a second, and then it shut down. And then, well, maybe this doesn't work, or maybe I'm never, maybe it's not, you know, it's not attainable for me. And there's the loss of the confidence. But it wouldn't be up for you. And you, even just sitting here, it looks like having the experience, however briefly, that was being talked about as you were talking about it.
Projecting it.
Yeah, exactly. Because you have to go there in order to project it. Yeah.
I think perhaps, you know, last week? Week before, I don't know, whatever time, it's completely.
Yeah, maybe we'll do
this all. But seeing the difference between identification and self hate.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I love that conversation we've been kind of having.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The difference. And seeing it. And just, you know, there's really just identifying them,
yeah.
Really in a place I haven't been in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And this is backlash.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. So really having had that powerful experience of disidentification in the recognition of the difference of self-hate and all that, and really being clear. And, oh, I bet this is backlash. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is how it tends to go. And again, I just would be remiss if I didn't point out the clarity that you have about it all, the awareness, you know, because otherwise, I mean, it's so, and it's probably trying to say, yeah, but right now, you know, something, but that, you know, but the clarity is what is here, and the awareness, synonym, the awareness.
Mm-hmm. It's just pounding me.
Yes, I bet it is.
You're just so the wrong person.
Yeah. And can you see that it's active desperation, that it kind of has to do that because of the strength of the awareness, of the clarity? I mean,
yeah.
Really,
yeah.
Yeah. What would support you in keeping the attention on your clarity then, or on your awareness, when it's pounding you like that?
Probably sitting quietly doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Just breathing and getting out from between the ears.
Getting out from between the ears, getting out of the head and just sitting and breathing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sitting in the awareness, in the breath. Still, be still. Where's the attention?
Well, you know, it's saying all the things it always does.
Yeah.
It's not that easy. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's very responsible. It's just, you know, 101.
It doesn't work. It's irresponsible. You know, I can just picture this. And you're stupid. You can't do it. I mean, it's just like such a little kid bully kind of thing.
So the Gans is always wonderfully, how would you be with someone you love? And I just saw, because I always think about my sister, and I just saw that's my projection of my sister.
So you can go there. Is this what you're saying? That you can.
If I get one removed.
Yeah, we use the school of projection, and you use your sister because you love your sister to go to what project onto her, and that's how you would be with her. So you can then move into that place for in that moment. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
And did you just go there?
Well, what it's saying is, that's the best you can do. Just think, remove it one person over, and then be there.
Yeah.
And because that just directly. The direct experience of this person in this life and loving this person in this life is just so not available. So just do it the other way. It's better than nothing. So, that's how it is. That's how it talks.
And what are you saying about that?
There's... wow!
I know, they were just mad. You could spray something on yourself and keep them away.
I'm self-conscious. We don't just report on it.
Well, the helpful
shares that.
But the helpful thing about what you just said in reporting on it is that it reveals how, because what it's saying, what it's kind of minimizing, that making that movement to your sister. Now, that's the best you can do. It's not the real thing, but that's the best you can do. The lie in it is that it is the real thing.
I just saw the lie.
Good, yeah. And so when you said, when it said to you, well, that's the best you can do, you're like, that's right. That's the best I can do. That's the best thing. And don't let now, by the way, that I'm doing exactly what I was projecting that the monks are doing and taking care of this human by saying, oh, what would, if I can project onto another person, it'll take me to that experience. That's the same thing. Taking care of this human via the tools that we've been given of projection. So it's actually telling you exactly what's so. It's just kind of using that nasty tone of voice. It's supposed to deliver it in a hateful way and get you distracted, but it's actually the very best you can do.
Yep. So I think I'll... Thank you. I think I'll come back to the practice of just dropping any conversation, anything at all, any mental gyrations at all, and just get back in the body, back into the senses. Just do that for a while.
Sounds big and it sounds lovely.
Well, there's a lot in that. I've been looking at that. I've been looking a lot at unconditional love, and especially love for Sequoia, you know, it's warm and all of it. And when I first came to the monastery, I think one of the monks would often say that they told their family they came to the monastery to learn how to love themselves. And I thought, oh, well, that's good. That's a good explanation. I can tell people, you know. They might understand that.
I can borrow that line.
I can do that. I'll borrow that line, you know. So I think I told a few people, but I'm going to the monastery to learn how to love myself. But I didn't have a clue what that was.
You know, I've come to find out there is no self.
There is no self. You know, exactly. And and I was busy trying to love the self, and it was really, it just wasn't working. and it still feels like this. It's still a journey.
Mm-hmm.
But two things I've noticed about it. One, and I talk about this often, but I mean these are two instances that just were so, I just felt like profound on the journey of learning to love, and that was the one day I was out at the near the garden shed, and I was working on some wood project, and I took my glasses, my eye protection off, and I laid it down, of course, on the lenses. You know,
just flopped them down.
Flopped them down on the lenses, and the guide was there, and she lovingly picked those glasses up and put them down so they weren't resting on the lenses. She didn't say anything to me, but I got it. okay. And it was a demonstration of love.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, so that got registered somewhere, I remember that. And then one day in the kitchen, she was by me, and we were setting up a dish station for something. And I was folding the towels, you know. Wanted it nice, it looks very zen-like, you know, very neat. And she just said something to me softly, like, yeah, we fold the towel for the towel. Like, what the heck? You know, it was just, I didn't really understand it at the time, but it hit someplace, you know, again, that this had something to do with love.
Yeah.
and so far, that has been the best, let's see, the most accessible portal for me in the journey for learning how to love is the care for things around me. And one of the reasons it's been a portal is that when it happens, when I'm present and I can really feel, I don't know. I don't go through this whole thing like, wow, this is not so great. I don't know what's happening. But I project as probably getting to some place where there's no separation, you know. It feels so wonderful.
Yeah.
It feels so wonderful. Couldn't feel more wonderful to be folding that towel than to holding one of my children when they were newborn babies. You know,
it's the same place.
It's in the same place. It just feels like that same kind of love.
Yeah.
And as a concept for loving me, I haven't gotten it either. But when I can get what I've noticed is, what's happened is there is a more care than there's ever been for this physical body. I think in the same way of folding the towel.
Yeah.
And for God, how many years I brushed my teeth. I didn't brush my teeth. I just was like listening to a voice in my head and trying to get through it to get to bed.
Yeah.
Or to get to what's next.
Yeah.
You know, that everything was, you know, take a shower, take, I mean, it was all just like, well, I have this body, you know, and it's got, I've got to do certain
needs.
It's got these needs. I've got to do certain things.
Yeah.
You know? What a newsletter.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes time, but if we can rush, you know, maybe we'll have a little more time to do, to listen to more voices. I don't know.
What's going on? It never finishes that sentence, does it? It just says, hurry. And finally, you know, and then having the wherewithal to see you as you're saying, yeah, for what? What are we hurrying for?
Yeah.
But you know, Sequoia, the thing that's striking me about what you're saying is, it's the process of loving. So when I came to the monastery to learn to love, and seeing the beautiful lesson that went straight to the heart about the eyeglasses and the towel, and then over time, just wearing down the very thick conditioning we all have around this as something that is just like the towel.
Yeah.
It's not different.
Yeah.
You know? And going to that same place that you went to with your newborn babies, that you went to with the towel, that now you go to with your teeth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is so amazing when you think about it, because all the identification we have with our bodies being worn down in a way that can even you can even be in that place with this body?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, as you were reflecting that, I was just seeing, you know, it was all coming from an attitude of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was a thing separate from life that somehow I owned.
It's your body.
It's my body.
Mm-hmm.
And so what?
Yeah.
So what if I have to have a few extra fillings or a couple teeth pulled because mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, it's my body.
It happens.
It happens.
It's my body.
You know?
Yeah.
Right. Or, you know, any number of non-loving things that, you know, happened with it. And, so, it's funny. Oh, well, what just dropped in is death and control.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I don't know how these go together, but just watching, I'm aware how I'm so controlled by that system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about the backlash you know, just watching, oh my gosh. How narrow, you know, I'm only allowed, the leash is only so long,
mm-hmm.
you know, any kind of expansive experience or anything like that, it's like, okay, nope,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just that, you know, getting yanked back into the suffering place.
So when you're in the expansive experience,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
would you say there is no leash, and then
mm-hmm.
I mean, where does the short leash come in?
Well, I think that maybe even in that expansive, I'm allowed a little bit of expansive experience by the system,
mm.
and then that's it.
Mm.
That's far enough. You know, we can't go. You can't go.
Mm.
You know. Now we have to, you know, it has to be countered with,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So there's a sense that there's this allowing
mm-hmm.
of a longer leash,
mm-hmm.
then more expansive experience, but then it comes in and says, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
a retractable leash.
Right.
Exactly. You're back on the short leash.
Yeah. It's funny because I was listening to some recordings this morning, and I was listening to a recorder about the same thing. I was just saying, It feels often like, I don't know. I saw it as like being in prison,
mm-hmm.
Kept in prison, And then, like, one day I get a free pass. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, gates open, go have a, you know, go have an expansive experience. Mm-hmm. And then, bam,
door
slam shut. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's it. Suffer, mm-hmm. suffer, suffer. It's like, it's so cruel. It's almost like, it's so cruel.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like it, less cruel to just stay in prison and not know there's another expansive. Yeah, so just watching that happen over and over, and, you know, and yet knowing that there's like this, let's see, object at this tipping point, you know,
yeah.
And I'm feeling that, you know,
yeah.
It's like, okay, I've got your number now,
yeah.
You know, and there has been, let's see, it's clear what the choice is.
Yeah.
So
you've got its number.
Mm-hmm.
You know how
mm-hmm.
it keeps doing that
mm-hmm.
to you.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a tipping point because you know the portal out.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have the key to the gate,
yeah.
not it, right?
Yeah.
Because you know, hold the town.
Yeah, exactly. I know, and the portal is so easy. You know, both know. It's not even a big complicated thing.
Yeah.
You know, and that the open door. You know, the open door is just the most simple thing.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's the joyful part. You just, you know, it's like the wonderful thing is, for whatever reason, the slip up in the system is that this human got to see there was a break in the
yes.
tape. There was an open. There was a crack in the.
And she's practicing.
And she was practicing.
She's practicing
yeah.
getting through that.
Yeah.
That gap
yeah.
in the gate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that practice it's very fun because it just keeps escalating, you know, the crack keeps getting a little bit wider and wider and wider, and there are many times when it's like, oh God, now I can't find it again, it's shorter and shorter. We have these wonderful groups,
yes,
and Sangha to support
yeah.
that.
Yes, I know, I'm thinking about that when listening to past group recordings, it's like anytime we're in group, it's like we all kind of find the gap together,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then we can, you know, go out and do our own practices, you know, that are particular, and then we come back, oh, yeah, there's the gap.
There's the gap,
yeah.
So,
Well, and as you say, the times are getting shorter and shorter between
uh-huh.
those moments of freedom,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And it's interesting that there's, not interesting, but it's heartening. You know, the reaction now to the leash is anger, you know, instead of kind of giving up,
mm-hmm.
you know, like,
yes.
I'm seeing it now and I realize this is not just an accident
yeah.
that this is happening. And it's really kind of shocking to see how it will control physically, you know. I'm like, wow, there's like no end to what it seems that whatever this system is that will go to try and keep it.
So there's no limit, no end to what the system will try, even
yeah.
physically, to clamp down
yeah.
the control.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what you're seeing is that your reaction is very different from
yeah.
where it used to be a giving up, like it's hopeless, to anger. I've got your number now.
And knowing its control is limited.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely limited, and that there is that, you know, there's that stepping back in awareness that encompasses it all, that's
yeah.
like way bigger than that.
And infinite.
And infinite, and holds it all. And it's so, it's just like, so go ahead.
Your time.
Do your stuff.
Yeah, you need the numbers.
Wow.
That's good news, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Susan.
What time is it?
It's 11:15.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm planning it.
So this morning when I was meditating, I was very aware of the stories that were trying to get me, and I was also aware that when I was breathing, I started seeing spots. I don't know if you ever had that experience, but when I went on my very first retreat and was introduced to meditation, after that week, it was a week long, I went back and I was standing in church. And I thought, doing what they told me, I'm still breathing, paying attention to my breath, and I thought I was going to pass out. You know, I kind of got dizzy because it's so disorienting to what I had turned to forever to help me do everything.
Yeah.
And so it's similar today, you know, like it's radical just to turn the attention, you know, that for me to never forget what someone was saying earlier about the ultimate answer is to breathe and to be quiet and to just focus on that. And that is so radical. And ego never let know, you know, what you need to do is write an article or speak your truth or, you know, it just says the up, you know, it says we have to do something different. And for me, these are the words that we're using, in order to be authentic, you know, in order to be loving. It's, you know, but then we hear, wait a minute, it's just about bringing attention to whatever it is that is presented in our life.
Yes.
And that's, to me, the gift of the monastery, is that's, you know, those towels, or, you know, last week I got to sweep the, you know, when I lived here, we had these pea birds, which I talked about, but I would sweep the porch, and they'd come and poop on the porch right after you swept. Well, you know, last week I'm sweeping, and here comes Pache with this mud. I'm like, I don't need pea birds. Hey, Pache! See that I was trying to accomplish a perfect, you know, I wasn't doing it from that place of, you know, and then Pache, and I'm like, I'm busy, you know, that's what I do with my kids, right? I have time to actually, okay, there, you know, we're on my porch. We just get to see. And I can just so relate with the take a shower and go, you know. I just remember a monk years ago and would talk about, you know, getting up when he woke up and then brushing his teeth and flossing. You know, we know we're supposed to floss. I'm a horrible flosser because not enough, you know, just run by that.
That's good enough.
Yeah, that's good enough. It's an electric one. It's a little fancy one they say to get.
But I go to a dentist twice in that year.
Right! Exactly. Making thanks when I don't get, you know. But that attitude of care, you know. Right before I came here, I went to church, and there was this visiting priest, and he was like 100 years old. And I'm really appreciating the 80 and above generation.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why. I've just been sent some angels that are just, I don't know why. You know, they just come to see me, and I get to be blessed beyond belief. But anyway, this guy, he talked just a little slower.
Mm-hmm.
He read the scriptures just a little. And I thought, is he a 9? I don't know. He might just be a holy 6. Like me, you know. And I was just thinking about how impacted I was by his care and attention.
Yeah.
And that similar to when we're here in group, when somebody's talking and we're looking at the same thing.
Yeah.
That we get to have that experience. So if somebody's talking about little things they do to love themselves, or, oh yeah, it occurred, you know, we all get to go right, and it was sort of the same experience with him. You know, it's not even that he had some kind of powerful message. I mean, I think he did, but I can't really remember that.
Yeah.
You know, what I remember is how he was.
Yeah.
Probably with him, you know, I project with himself, but certainly.
Because how we do anything is how we do it.
Right, this is the thing. You know, and it's so funny because I heard that was the thing, and I'm like, the ego's like, oh, how would it, you know, that's the thing. I mean, I want to move it to joy. I don't want to look at it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the resistance kicked in. But anyway, I just look a lot at the, you know, who am I listening to? And, mm-hmm. you know, that the language is so practical and logical and sensible.
Mm-hmm.
Ego can portray it in that way. So I'm going to do the getting up early and flossing my teeth thing, but there's so many kind of creative ways to... So one of the things, so this year I was going to look at my relationship with money.
Mm-hmm.
So decided it came to me on retreat last week. One of the ways to go up against that is to start donating a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot more, out of the whatever. And so I threw a little more in the basket this morning. Mm-hmm. My youngest is like, Mom. And what are you doing? And I'm like, throwing money in the basket. And it's the process of doing it, you
uh-huh.
know, that's like, because I have college tuition, for God's sake,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And I wasn't a good enough saver, you know, that's what this says. You know, it just starts in, and what about this? And, you know, it's you know, just like the breath is a portal for me to God.
Uh-huh.
That thinking is a portal to eternal hell,
yeah.
damnation,
yeah.
fire. You know, yeah. it's just, and it's lying.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a lie that, and it says, oh, well, the way to feel peaceful about it is to start doing, you know, not donating a little more.
Yeah.
You know, working a little more and being practical and getting yeah. it into that account. And
yeah.
Not that those things aren't,
have their place,
mm-hmm. but boy, in ego's mind, that's where its focus is.
If let's focus on not having enough,
right?
Let's focus
yes.
on you need to work harder and save more and make more. You know, hold on to more. Let's focus on scarcity. That's really the way. To
yeah, be. Right. Not slowing down and caring for what you have and spending time with and
being with
and breathing.
Breathing. And just the simple things.
The simple
it's always got to be about doing
yeah.
more, not just being with the breath.
Yeah.
We saw how disorienting that was to ego back in the early days, right? It just throws it all
yeah, into yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's such a lie. It's two things. You know, when Sherry wrote that blog on opposites some time ago anyway, about just its exact opposite. So whatever it tells you to do the opposite or to be the opposite. And then it also you're talking about the hell, Yom's way to that's my favorite name for the devil in Christian mythology is the Prince of Lies.
Mm-hmm.
It is. He's just such a liar. All the everything.
I like that image of a prince because you know, in the sense that like I don't know, that there's a it looks
yeah.
royal
it,
or holy or not holy
at least
really,
respectable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just terrible. Terribly addictive for me for my it's just a place that can get me.
Well, and again, the awareness that you're bringing to it should be underlined too, though.
When it does feel stronger, you know, that's
yeah.
just the truth. Like, you know, there's that razor's edge. but because, you know, that's the only thing I can see, one of the many things, let's say, is a big benefit of practicing for an amount of time,
mm-hmm.
is that we have so much good experience of it is true.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, now intellectually, I know it's true.
Yeah.
I know that even if I don't feel it right now, although I do, grateful, but that it is stronger. That love place, I guess, whatever you want, you know, but that place of openness and freedom and joy,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of throwing it in the basket and laughing.
Yeah.
You know, before it was like, okay, I have my schedule, and this still has had a place for me. You know, okay, I am going to get up at this time, and I'm going to floss my teeth.
Uh-huh.
There is a wonder about that kind of practice,
yeah.
going against ego.
Yeah.
But it's also pretty fun when it's not as hard.
Yeah.
You know, when it's
yeah.
just like, oh, yay, I got
in the moment.
Oh, there it is. Oh, that's fun.
And even the reaction to your child, Mom, what are you doing?
It just so reminds me of I was going to say Mother Teresa or, you know, those St. Francis. People looked at them and thought they were crazy. I think that, I don't know, they did crazy things. It did not make sense to ego or to the people at large. So even though it seems irresponsible to just pay attention, you know, just breathe. You know, what I'm going to do is breathe, focus on my breath all the time, and care for what's in front of me.
Yeah.
And if that means I wake up and the first thing to care for is me, got my water, drink my cup of water, you know,
Yeah, exactly.
Go a little, but ego's like, oh, but it's so cold.
Yeah.
Your bed is so cozy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, you got up with the dogs yesterday.
Yeah.
I was just completely forgetting that I loved it.
Uh-huh.
And that the stars were out.
Yeah.
And that they played and ran. And, you know, completely forgetting how much I enjoyed it, right?
It's editing.
It's editing. You know, and it's life.
Conditioning flying.
Right. You know? It's more than editing. It is writing a new story.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the National Enquirer.
Yeah. You know, a whole new tabloid.
Of life.
As if it's its experience.
And as if it's true.
Yeah.
And you know how, like, if you're standing in the grocery line, it does have an impact. It's like, really? You know it's lying. But it's still like, oh my gosh, that person got me ill and they're gone. Elvis is still alive?
Maybe he is.
And
then you just go, oh yeah, I'm not believing that narrative anymore. I'm not entertaining that narrative anymore.
And I'm not even going to look at that tabloid because I know what it does to the system.
Yes, which is just as much an act of kindness as watching the feed.
I'm not gonna
eat poison, whether it's in my eyes or either my body, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Which we're practiced with, and then ultimately through the ears,
to let it in. Yeah,
because it's still going. You know, they're still publishing the National Enquirer, just as Howard Cosell is still in my mind.
Yeah,
you know. Unless I don't listen.
Yeah.
Still gonna try.
Yeah. But we're doing a diet of the mind where we're not letting that, we're not giving that our attention
anymore. Yeah. And I like the whole one day at a time thing.
Yeah.
You know, that just for today, I'm not going to watch that TV show in the head. I might tomorrow.
Yeah.
But not today.
Just for today, I'm gonna think of getting up in the morning as a real joy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just for today.
I get to
go. I'll go back to, you know, tomorrow.
Presenting it tomorrow. You know.
Just for today.
And then get it on the recorder, right?
Wow, the stars and the sun coming up over, and the dogs are adorable, and I'm breathing in the sharpness of the temperature, and the I love my boots that keep my feet warm. You know, it's just like
endless. It's endless.
Yeah,
it's why that recording and listening, because tomorrow when I'm like, oh, doesn't anybody ever get up as early as I do, you know, start listening, you know, because we do.
The reminder.
Yeah, because I am going to get locked in there. And
well,
so
it's going to try. Anyway.
It's going to try.
And so you got those earbuds to counteract it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The opposite of the inquirer in the head. The direct opposite.
The direct opposite, like sitting in the, you know, in a monastery, quite honestly, or a sacred place, listening to God.
Yes. Yeah. Access to it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.